Oh, thank you, Jean-Louis. Thank you, boys in the band. Oh, good morning, everyone. Happy Memorial Day. Oh, so, Memorial Day, we have to just remember that it is a day to celebrate. It is a day to bring forth into our awareness for a specific purpose, for a specific reason, to honor, to celebrate, to appreciate, to remember those who have been in service to us and for us. And there's a tradition that was started many years ago that I'm very fond of for Memorial Day, and it's Taps Across America. And if you're not familiar with it, I'm happy to share it with you. It is the idea that at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon Pacific time, people all around the country, and now I understand all around in all the cities, will take a moment to pause, to remember, and those who are able and have the right instrument, play taps. Yeah. So I love this. I became aware of it last year, and I was so excited to see that it's happening again this year. It's been going on for quite a while. And so while I don't have an instrument that I play, I will take a moment tomorrow at 3 o'clock to be in appreciation and gratitude for those who have been in service and given their life in service to us. So I invite you to do the same. And since we won't be together necessarily tomorrow, I would just like to take a moment now in appreciation and gratitude. Thank you. And because it's an opportunity to appreciate and give thanks for the people who have been in service and continue to be in service. So if we have anyone who is in service in any way in the military, in any of the forms of military, I just invite you to be appreciated and valued right now. Any people? I know we do. I'd love to acknowledge you. I know there's another day specifically for that, but I wouldn't miss the opportunity. So, And, you know, it just plays so perfectly into my theme this morning, into my topic, that life is interwoven, that all of the, all of our parts of our life are woven so beautifully together. And let's see if I have one. I do, I have one. I was inspired this month by this piece of art that's on your program, and at home, you've seen it on the website maybe, and it's kind of small on here, but you can see it. It's not really anything, is it? And yet, that's what I liked about it, that these drawings of lines intercept and intercourse and meet and go over and go under. And it's drawn by Joan Cosner. And the minute I saw it, I said, I must have it, Joan. And she gave it to me, thank goodness. It sits upstairs in my office. And then when it came time to do the unifying nature of life this month, I thought, oh, what a great symbol for the unifying nature of life, that we have all of these paths and all of these activities and all of these aspects of our life that intercept each other and that work with each other. And sometimes it feels like they're colliding with each other. And yet even in that, there's this beauty and there's this cohesiveness, there's this unity, there's this working together. Because what I know and I believe and what I offer is that life is never against itself. It cannot be against itself. And so, when we feel that, when we feel that life is against us, when we feel that life is against someone else, when we feel that life is against, then our work is to not fight that. That's useless, right? To fight it. But to just notice where we're at with it. What's my resistance in that? Maybe I'll remember Joan's picture. I'm going to go under it, or I'm going to go over it, or I'm going to go around it, or I'm going to go beside it, or I'm just going to be with it. Eventually, we always get there, don't we? So, it's this weaving of our life that I am excited about, and the ways that it gets woven together. And you know, we've heard the idea of the tapestry, and we've heard the idea of the threads and weaving everything together. But we don't actually do the weaving, do we? That's spirit that does the weaving. But we do have a part in the web. And the Native American Hopi say it very well. The ancient saying goes like this: all dreams spin out from the same web. And Chief Seattle, if you're familiar with him, he was a Suquamish and Duwamish chief. Back in 1854, quite a while ago, he's credited with saying, "Man did not weave the web of life. He is merely a strand in it. Whatever he does to the web, he does to himself." Now, I love that this idea, maybe not the first time it was penned or spoken back in 1854, but certainly in my lifetime, certainly in my last, let's age myself, 30 years, half my life, it has been a big idea. It has been a big idea that I'm a strand in this web, and that what I do to the web, I do to myself. And with time and with contemplating this idea, I've become familiar with the idea that not only is that true, but it's also true that what I do to the web, I do to myself. So it makes me become more aware of that interconnected life that I'm living. It's what the science of mind teaches, is it not? That everything is connected. We aren't the first, we aren't the last, we won't be the only ones that say this. And yet, as more and more people are aware of this idea, as there's more attention given to that intention to be aware of it, the idea is strengthened. And when the idea is strengthened out here, it's easier for us to align with it and to connect with it and to recognize it and to know that we are connected. And what connected means is joined, linked, or related. And more we acknowledge this and we understand what this means and how deep it goes, and we cannot experience outside with any substance and longevity what is not true on the inside. There's a connection. Well, you know, we're aware of it. We kind of take it for granted, though, don't we? That our parts are connected, that our body, the functions of it are all connected, that they work well together most of the time. And when they don't, we have wise people to go see, wise practices to embrace, to take care of. And so that connection, we can understand, we can relate to it. And so now the interconnected part. So interconnected means there are internal connections like the strands or the webs of the tapestry. And what is interconnected, hear this, what is interconnected does not hold together without its other parts. It's interdependent for its very existence. You can, but I offer to let it go a little deeper than just sitting there at the surface. We're interdependent beings. That means that our existence, our being, is dependent upon each other. And I just invite you to notice if you have any resistance to the idea of being dependent upon someone else. That the invitation to deepen our awareness of our interdependence is deeply rooted to our being willing to be dependent. Now, I know I and a bazillion others have taught us to be independent, to not need. And yet here I'm going to say what our lesson is, what our opportunity is to not let it be either or, but to realize that we are dependent in a really beautiful way, in a really magnificent way. Our lives are interwoven. We belong to each other, and we belong with each other. And whether we like it or not, we need each other. So, well, now what do we do? Now what do we do? We recognize if we have that resistance to being dependent. I think that many of us have learned that we're really good at being the one to be depended upon. I'm really good at that. You can depend on me. I'll be there in a heartbeat. You need me? I'm there. You need me? I got your back. But when it comes time for what I need, am I as quick to be able to give you the privilege and the honor and the gift to be there for me? And I just, the words are so important here. To be dependent upon. We've kind of made that into a weakness in so many ways. To be dependent is often something that we're trying to get away from. I don't need anyone else. I got this. God and me, we've got this. But if I say God and me, we've got this, then I must include you because we are all part of the one life that is the God, that is the life of God. It's a dilemma, isn't it? But it isn't. It's an opportunity to remember that we all play a part in each other's health, in each other's wealth, in each other's joy, in each other's sadness, in each other's troubles and struggles, in all of it. It isn't just that we don't have to do it alone, we don't get to do it alone. So, I just have to interrupt my own message and share a little bit about an example of how my life has experienced the idea of being dependent upon and being dependent upon and being interdependent with others. And I'm just going to put them on the spot. I have two beautiful people here that I just love so much. It's just this love that we share. So these beautiful girls grew up in my youth program. And a few years ago, we were all out. I know, right? That's what happens when we're interconnected. So a few years ago, we're out ice skating. I've told the story to some of you, but now you know the people. You know who's involved in it. So they grew up since they were knee-high to a duck with me, taking my classes, letting me teach them sometimes. And so we're out at this activity, and looking forward to going to lunch and the next activity in the day, and we're getting off the ice, and I'm not a bad skater. Just want to make it clear. But I fell. I fell hard, I fell down, I broke my wrist. I know, thank you for that. The interconnectedness. We all feel it. So, you know, the young guy at the rink, he looks at me and he says, "Oh, it's okay, ma'am. It just needs some ice." He didn't even know how funny that was. But What these two did, and a couple other young girls that were with us, but these two in particular, what they did was they sat with me. I became dependent upon them. The two who I had taught and raised became my teacher. They put their arms around me. They said, "Don't worry, Miss Patty, you got this. Don't worry, we're with you. We got this." And they sat with me as the paramedics came. They talked to me. They called Fred. They let him know what was up. Then they said, "It's all right. We don't have to take the ambulance. We'll drive you." So we get in the car, and we're driving to the hospital, and it hurts, okay? It hurts like heck. So we put on some really loud music, and we sing. And we share the experience. We share what's going on. And you know, these beautiful young ladies, they came with me, they sat with me at the hospital, they stayed there for hours. And we sat in the kids' section and played until they made us move. And in my life, there was this shift. There was the shift in our relationship. That's why I'm telling you the story. The shift in the relationship that occurred when I was willing to not put on my brave front, to not be all that, and to let these young girls, still in high school at the time, take care of me, be strong for me. And really what happened was this awareness that they didn't do it necessarily for me, but with me. That we were able to share that greater strength, that greater faith, and that love in a really beautiful way. It changed my life. Not because I broke my wrist, but because I shared with someone who I love so much this experience of letting them love me so much. Now that's my version of it. Their version might be slightly different, but I share it with you because they're here today, and it's what happens when we share life. We show up for each other. We come back into each other's life in different ways, and we welcome each other with who we are today and with where we are today and with what we've got going on today, and we allow ourselves to be interconnected at the deepest level. We belong to each other. We need each other, not because we aren't whole and perfect and complete, but because we are. Because we are whole and perfect and complete. And the one life that is God's life is the life that we are in together. That life that is God's life leaves no one and no thing out. No one, no thing out of it. That's kind of hard to wrap my head around. There's plenty of things that I see out here in the world that I think, well, that doesn't fit my picture. So I have some work to do. Okay. I'll do it. Because I'm becoming more and more and more aware that as I leave pieces out, as I leave individuals out, as I leave activities out, as I leave the occurrences of my life out, I'm creating the gap. We're being shown in so many ways right now in our life to go beyond living on the surface of being connected, that being interconnected and dependent upon and with each other in this life that we're living is strengthening us. It's hard. It's hard sometimes. And yet, the reward is that not just one of us is made stronger, but all of us are made stronger. So what do we do with this? Well, we notice and we pay attention and we experience our own interwoven beliefs. And we start noticing the beliefs that are weaving together and what they're creating. Are they beliefs that are fighting against each other? That's not necessarily bad. But to pay attention to them, to notice what's being woven together in the way that we're living our life, in the way that we're approaching each other, in the way that we're approaching the challenges in our life, so that we can either say yes to them or say, what's the higher idea here? Because back of doubt and uncertainty, and I'm even going to change that too, because remember, I'm reminding myself and us to always remember it's not the opposite, it's the continuum. So, you know, along over here, there's doubt and uncertainty, but that's one end, and at the other end of that is something greater. Maybe it's humility, which is not a bad thing. Maybe it's wisdom. So where am I in that? If I'm feeling doubt and uncertainty, maybe it's my heart calling to know my wisdom, to claim my wisdom, to believe in my wisdom. So rather than saying, oh, no, I don't want to see that, I don't want to feel that, I don't want to experience that, well, what might it be telling me? What might be beneath the surface? What might be further along there? Rosie, you gave us this beautiful affirmation at the end of your reading, and it was something like, I am willing to be touched by the presence of God in all. Something like that? Something like that. So we remember that in all of the activities of our life, in all of the things that are going on, we are willing to be touched by the presence. Even when it comes in the most unexpected and unusual ways. So, the last thing I just want to point out is that beautiful statement that we've likely heard many times: many paths, one God, and the variations of that. And mostly I've heard that out in the world of interfaith and different activities. But I want to just open up an idea for us, and I'll leave us with it, that many paths, one God is my many paths. My many paths are leading me to the God within me. There's not a wrong path. Some are going to take longer. Some are going to have bumps and turns and hurdles that we didn't wish for. But every path is leading us to the God within. And that's, and again, that's the beauty of having each other. I have a friend I'm going to grab hold of. I'm going to grab her hand, and we're going to walk together. We might even skip. And she might just hold me. Every path, all of my paths, lead to God within me. So I'm committed to not being afraid of my paths, to not being afraid of being dependent upon you, dependent upon us, and dependent upon God. Because it's not a weakness. It's an acknowledgement of the interdependent life that we share, the interdependent life that we are. So, what I know is that there is a presence, a power, a vibration, an energy, known by many names. I call it God, I call it love, and I know that it is right here, right now, right where each one of us is. It is in us and through us and as us. It is active in our words and our thoughts and in our activities, and it brings us closer to it as we interact with it. And so we interact with it by means of each other. We interact with that divinity of love and kindness.